Well, good morning. It's Sunday, April 11th, 2021. Well, here we are. We're entering the second quarter of the year. And as we move along with our year's, as we call it, loosely laid theme of Christ in you, we are still in the phase of sealing spiritual truths in our hearts about God, about Jesus, and about the gift of Holy Spirit. Currently, we are looking into the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. We want our journey through this earthly life to be fruitful. God has promised that. And He's clear in His Word that this world is full of evil. There is an absence of light at every turn. Jesus said there would be tribulations, but that in Him we would have peace. So, God sent His Son, Jesus, to be the Savior of the whole world. This past week, I really enjoyed reviewing the teachings that we've done thus far to kind of keep the flow fresh and current. And I realized, once again, I've realized it before, how easily my mind can lose my groove without the repetition. Oh, it's true, I might remember the meaning of a word or a record might stand out in my mind, but my desire is to keep the truth fluid in my heart and mind. And I thought of the illustration of kind of likening our spiritual health to our physical health. SPO2, that stands for blood oxygen saturation levels. And a good blood oxygen saturation level is imperative because every organ, every cell in our bodies requires oxygen-rich blood to function. When you go into a situation in the hospital, one of the first things they do is they hook you up to instruments. And one of the things they have constantly under observation is your blood oxygen saturation level. And if it drops below a certain point, which is actually quite high, they put you on oxygen to feed you. The heart, the lungs, the brain, the liver, down to every cell, even all the body tissues, requires good oxygen levels to function properly. So the oxygen you breathe into your lungs feeds your blood oxygen saturation level to keep you physically healthy and vital. So, figuratively speaking, the truths you take into your mind saturate your spiritual heart. And that's how we stay vigorous and dynamic. This makes up what I'm going to label our heart truth saturation levels, HTSL. You become a force, and we remain a force. We can see how beautiful and simple God made it work in Proverbs 4, beginning with verse 20 in the New Living Translation. My children, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So, I'm going to say it this way. Your heart truth saturation level, your HTSL determines the healthy spiritual flow of your life. God wants us to be fruitful, there's no doubt. His will is for our prosperous journey in this life, that we would have enough, yet that we would not be tempted to steal, and then we wouldn't have too much that we would be tempted to forget God in our self-sufficiency. So there's a real balance there, that we have enough, we're not tempted to steal it or figure out some way to get it for ourselves because it's not happening, or that we would have so much we just put it on cruise control and think it's our own works that are getting us places, our own greatness. Deuteronomy chapter 8 speaks beautifully to those temptations, the two opposites, the two extremes. Look at all of God's provisions for the children of Israel as they left the wilderness and entered the promised land. This too is in the New Living. Deuteronomy 8:7 will start, and we're going to read quite a few verses here. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a land of flowing streams and pools of water, with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills. Where you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I am giving you today. And of course, we know in the church epistles that God's command, his regulation, if you will, his decree, is that we love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we love our neighbor. We love others as ourselves, even our enemies. We pray for them. We bless them that persecute us, and so on. In other words, it is our delight. It increases our heart truth saturation levels to demonstrate God's goodness, mercy, generosity, kindness, honesty, and even our loyalty, both to God and, of course, to others. In verse 12, it continues, "For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors." And if you remember, I think we covered manna a couple weeks ago. It means, what is it? I mean, they didn't know. "He did this to humble you and to test you for your own good. He did all this so you would never say to yourself," I mean, in his goodness, remember that God is good always. He did all this so you would never say to yourself, "I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy." Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. It is very clear that God's truth is our oxygen. Spiritually speaking, his word is the air we breathe. That's why we review. That's why we meditate in the scriptures, that our profiting may appear to all. And it's just not for other people to see and admire. Our lives are for others to enjoy. We are to help them enjoy life. So as we continue moving along this year, we want to be mindful to link all the truths together so that it provides the vitality and that fluid and that oxygenated spiritual life in all that we do. When you think about it, when the EMT arrives for a medical emergency, one of the first things they put to use is what?
Oxygen.
Yes. They engage the oxygen to sustain the organs in a person's body until such a time that person is able to sufficiently provide the supply on their own. We've recently begun looking at the life and ministry of Jesus, and we'll continue as we start this part one of Jesus' words concerning himself, particularly to breathe in what his words concerning himself mean to us and for us. How will our understanding of his life, all that he said, all that he did, raise our heart truth saturation levels? So today we're going to work from John 8:12, and many of the verses are going to be in the New Living Translation, especially where there's some context involved. John 8:12, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." That's the truth. He said, if you follow me, and he told them many times, it's a simple trail. In order to be the savior to the whole world, he made known God. And as Larry taught at the end of January, God is eternally light. He's eternally light. So this God of eternal light sent his son into the world to light it up, to light it up. And when we follow Jesus, we won't experience the absence of light, because the God of light and the light of the world will lead us along the prosperous way. And again, when we say prosperous, it's not about money. You don't need to get out your calculator. It's about having the abundance of good that money absolutely cannot buy. You could be a gazillionaire and you are not going to buy eternal life. You are not going to do it. Light is a word that really expresses light as seen by the eye. Primarily, light is a luminous emanation, and it enables our eye, the organ of sight, to discern forms and color. Light requires an organ, and that organ, of course, is our eye, that is adapted to receive the light. So the physical organ is the eye. And in a case where one's eyes become impaired, you know what? Light is useless because their world is dark. Their world has a total absence of light. It's dark. They no longer have that bodily organ for recognizing forms and colors. It's the very same spiritually. Without spiritual eyes, humans are incapable of receiving spiritual matters because they lack the capacity. They don't have that organ for receiving. They can't see spiritual things. The organ's not there. Do the things of God have no form or color to them? Well, 1 Corinthians 2:12 reads, this is going to be in the New King James Version. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, this man that doesn't have those organs of spiritual perception, he does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he ever know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He can't even know them, because he's missing that spiritual perception whereby he could see spiritual things. What we receive from God in the new birth is our set of spiritual eyes. You know, we now have the spiritual capacity to see and understand the things of God. And without the light of Christ, people can have 20/20 vision, but be blind as a bat throughout their entire life. Now, on the outside, their lives may appear very noble, very good. They might even judge them as such. They may receive great recognition for their generosity to needy causes. And many are those who bask in this reputation of their own good deeds. And Isaiah 50 issues a message about that terrible pitfall. Isaiah 50, verse 10, New King James. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, who walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks you have kindled, this you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. It just means when we don't look to God, there's going to be sorrows. It's a given. And that's of our own choosing. That's not of God's will. It's much like this in Indiana. I want to explain a little about this verse. Not all farmers live on their farmland here in Indiana. They often lease large plots of land from landowners. So each day or however often they go, they travel from their nearby homes to the lands they lease. For the farmer in biblical time, in the Eastern culture, their farms were outside the village. And at the first cock crowing of the morning, which was around 4 a.m., it was still dark, they would gather their animals, their farming equipment, and head out to the fields before the sun arose. To shed light on those pathways out to their field, they would light up the end of a rope with a fire. Now, of course, it wouldn't blaze. It would just kind of simmer and smolder. So they would blow on the end of it in order to help them see. And then they would kind of swing it back and forth so that it would set that little rope would set off enough sparks that they could see their way to walk. The meaning of this verse was crystal clear to the people of that time. Walking in their own light was snubbing the light from God. And as we read, that life will have many sorrows. We do well to respect God, not to snub his light. So the truth is, our own sparks from fussing and fretting over the end of that little rope, swinging it back and forth, it's really not sufficient for the job. We will just wear thin and grow weary. But God's light is abundantly sufficient. In Jeremiah 9:24 in the New Living Translation, but those who wish to boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord, who demonstrates unfailing love and who brings justice and righteousness to the earth, and that I, this is Jehovah, that I delight in these things. I, Jehovah, have spoken. So what does the Lord delight in? He delights in bringing justice, demonstrating his unfailing love. So God's light is eternal. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Much, much more better than the little few little sparks that shake off that rope. The gift of Holy Spirit is our ability to see. It's our ability to discern, our ability to receive as we believe the light of God. Psalm 119:105, King James says, the word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. The word, not this little skimpy rope that just, you know, you just barely catch a glimpse so that you don't trip over stones or maybe some animal or something. John 3:18 in the New Living. Now, of course, this is just following John 3:16 and 17, where we find this wonderful promise of God that he sent his only begotten son, gave his only begotten son, and that his son was not sent to judge the world, but to save the world. So verse 18 starts, there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, in Christ. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. And all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. And judgment here refers to a decision given concerning anything. Well, here's the decision. Light came into the world, and men decided to love the darkness more than the light. Their deeds were evil, and they refused to receive God's functioning organs to see spiritually. So, those people, here's what you can expect. They will scorn. They will condemn. They will censure. They will despise. And they will berate and many, many other things. Anyone with the eyes to see God. So what can we expect from the world? Accolades? Pats on the back? Nope. They just run around patting each other on the back. They will berate anyone with eyes to see God and ears that hear the voice of our Savior. To them, repudiating Christ makes all the sense in the world. After all, they see with the sparks from their own worship of self-sufficiency, their own piles of money, their big homes, and I'm talking about just huge amounts, much more than, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy, but where that is your pursuit in life, to just accumulate, it reminds me of little squirrels running around with their jaws just totally, fully expanded. Jesus, God's light that came into the world, told his disciples in Matthew 5:14, and this is King James Version, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Acts 13:47 in the King James, Paul said, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. In verse 26, 18 of Acts, King James, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. So you see, turning from darkness is turning from the power of Satan. getting them to turn to the light is turning them on to the power of God. The verse goes on, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Ephesians 5:8 tells us that before Christ, we were all full of darkness, but now we have received the light from the Lord. So logically, we ought to live like people of light, right? Sure. Philippians 2:15 in the King James says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Acts 24:16 in the King James, and herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now, some men, we're gonna be offensive to a lot of people. And the more perfectly we walk, the more we will offend. But that's not our problem. 1 Timothy 4:8 in the King James. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come. Verse 15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly, wholly, to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself, and guess what? Them that hear thee. Absolutely. Because you are the light of the world. So, do some deep breathing this week. Do some meditating. Do some praying in the Spirit. Administer some spiritual oxygen, not only to yourself, but to those who are sorrowing from low levels of spiritual truth. You have the light of life. You have the spiritual organ for sight. So bring your heart truth saturation levels up to the next level while ministering to those around you, wherever you are. You serve as the light of the world. You are the beacon. You are the EMTs. The words of life you know and understand, those are the very words. That's what serves oxygen that someone needs. Save their lives for the here and now. And lead them to eternal life of God in Christ. There really is an abundance. It was so tempting just to put all of them in, but there's an abundance of exciting verses on life and light. It's really a great buffet that awaits you if you're looking for something to kind of treat you. It'd be a little dessert this week to look up all those things on life and light and see how they work together. So God bless you so much and have an excellent week.